Welcome, team. Welcome. Welcome, everybody.
That's you.
Yeah.
I can't read it.
Right, well, we have with us for items 5 and 6, we have Star Ferry Limited, Johnny Leung and Eric Orr. For item 5, we have Cafe Deco, Graham Redding. And then we have Masterplan Limited, the planning consultant Ian and his team for both items. Ian, do you want to take these together or separately?
We do them one after the other. Have a break in between, I think.
Okay, fine, yeah, all right.
If that's acceptable.
All right, fine. Well, maybe you can lead us into the first item.
Yes.
This is the conceptual proposal for rationalising the expansion of the public viewing areas at the Central Star Ferry Terminal. Members, just put in context, that this, in a way, is adopting not a new approach, but it's we've had discussion with the Harbour Unit and the Bureau on this. Often people have innovative ideas, if you like, which they'd like to run past the Commission before they've necessarily received policy support or been endorsed or vetted, if you like, by various government departments. The two proposals that you see now are what I describe as falling into that category. We see them as innovative ideas. We'd like your reaction and response. The proponent would like your reaction and response. And then, obviously, if it's a favourable response, if we like the ideas, they then will obviously take them forward and discuss with bureaus and departments within government. So this is, do we like it? It's not whether we endorse, etc. We endorse would be second phase. Is that fair context, Ian?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Off you go.
The Star Ferry Piers, or Piers 7 and 8, were approved by the Town Planning Board to replace the original ones, and at that time when the approval was made there were various proposals put forward by the Star Ferry Company which resulted in Pier 7 being completely remodeled. It was the same as Piers 4, 5 and 6 and it was remodeled so that it became part of the dual iconic recognisable location for the Star Ferry operations. And that came into operation around about 2006. And since that time, as you all know, the waterfront has completely changed and it's now connected across towards Tamar and so on. So we have a situation where the Star Ferry is actually under its license to operate with the ferry services, has a responsibility to look after the whole of the pier. It's a management responsibility. And then in addition to that, they have, under their franchise, certain areas which they can rent out, and that helps generate an income which subsidises the operations of the ferry. And part of that franchise area is occupied by the Watermark. And the Watermark, when the proposal was originally approved, the Watermark was seen as being an opportunity to provide a good style of waterfront dining, which up until then had not been in existence in Hong Kong. And the Watermark has been operating basically since the beginning of the time that the ferry pier was available for use. With the changes that have taken place, which includes Pier 8 being completely renovated and changed into the Maritime Museum, and which is going to open next week, the whole situation has now changed. In addition, Cafe Deco Group has now taken over the operation of the Watermark, and they're looking at the situation again. The way that it works is that under the franchise, the Star Ferry Company subleases the area to the commercial operations. So anything that comes back through the operation or the improved financial situation of the lessees within the premises has a benefit for the Star Ferry in that they get an increased non-fare box income. So that helps subsidise the whole process. Also, as the waterfront's developed, the Star Ferry and the terminal has become basically the focus of all the operations and the activities on the waterfront, and it's perhaps the only thing that is moderately successful at the moment along the waterfront in terms of attracting the public and tourists. It's not perfect. And what we're now proposing is that it's a good time to relook at some of the things that were put in place before the waterfront started to change. And what the first one that we've got is, it's jointly put forward by Cafe Deco Group and the Star Ferry Company. The main driver is the Cafe Deco Group, who are the operators of the watermark. I'd like to ask Benson from my office to just take you through a PowerPoint which basically summarizes some of the things that are in the paper. And since we did that paper, we've been looking at how we can get public access up to the decks that already exist. And some of the proposals have actually been modified slightly, so they're included in this PowerPoint. So I'd now ask Benson to actually run through the relationship that we're proposing. Right,
thank you, Ian.
Benson.
So the context that we're working with is the Central Star Ferry Terminal, and as you can look at this photo aerial photo, the Watermark Restaurant is located at the Pier 7, at the outer edge of the pier, and then the clock tower building that we're talking about is this structure here in white. So this is a layout of the existing arrangement at the Watermark Restaurant, and you can see the highlighted red is the public viewing deck that's open to the public right now, and it runs around the whole restaurant. The blue area is the commercial operation, including the dining hall, the bar, and the kitchen, and the pink area is the shared space, which is for the circulation of the staff who works at the restaurant, the guests coming in, and at the same time is used by also like the public who enters the only entrance to the restaurant to get to the public area. And you can see how there's like a really interface problem between the use of this space. And especially during the times when there's like weddings and private parties, like people would have a good time here, and then the public would just come in and barge into their party. So there's definitely some loss of privacy in the whole layout. And here are some photos of the viewing deck, and you can see it's right now is really underused. Not a lot of members of the public come here, and even if they come here, they're just only able to walk through to take photos. They can't sit. There's no seating allowed right now, and the other issue with the arrangements right now is that at the rooftop of the clock tower building, as you can see in these photos, these three platforms at the top, they're well equipped with like railings, but they're actually not accessible to the public. The people cannot go up to this area right now, which is a shame, because this is a prime viewing space if you think about it. And so what happened was me and a couple of colleagues went up for a site visit one day, and when we had to climb up some cat ladders right now, which is the maintenance access to the area, and we came out of the clock tower building right here on the a small door here. And the first thing we noticed was how spectacular the view was there. We saw the Hong Kong skyline on one side, and then we turned around and we saw this panoramic view of the Victoria Harbor, and it was just so open and so much more comfortable than the space that was at the watermark. And we just want to emphasize that there's just so much more potential to make this space into a high quality viewing area. And you can see at the photos here that there's a lot of areas to put seats, right? Taking into consideration the issues that we talked about, we came up with a proposal, and that is firstly to convert the viewing deck into the part of the operation of the Watermark Restaurant. So you can see here that it's the light blue is converted into an indoor and outdoor dining deck. So this expands the operation of the restaurant, and it also gets rid of a lot of the interface problems. And so this is a more workable layout, we find. And then the other proposal is to open up the platforms for the publics to go and enjoy the view there. And obviously, we want to have public access, so we propose to have an elevator and a staircase that you can see here in the green area. This is the location that we're proposing, and it's actually an extension of what's already an existing elevator and staircase at the first floor. This is a layout, and you can see the red area was what we're proposing to open up. The green is the elevator and the staircase, and it will be coming out of the roof structure, the existing roof structure right here on the building. And what we're also proposing is that there's when people go up there, they enjoy the scene, the view, but no food or beverage is allowed, right? To minimize the issues. And this is the first floor. You can see this is where the existing elevator and staircase is. And this is a photo showing the elevator and the staircase. And what will happen is the elevator will be extended up through this roof. So likely their construction probably will need to be required. And just to give an overview of the change in floor area, the public viewing deck will at the Watermark restaurant has 335 square meters, and this will be converted into a public dining space. And then to compensate for this this conversion, we're going to open up the viewing platform at the top of the clock tower building with 578 square meters. So overall, we actually have an additional increase of 243 square meters of high quality public viewing space. So what we just presented is the proposal that we submitted to the task force, but afterwards we had a meeting, and then we the team came up with an alternative proposal. And one of the major changes that we wanted to propose is to have the elevator public access to be sort of a standalone elevator shaft that is by the edge of the building, so it will not require altering any of the existing structures. And here's a layout view of to see more clearly where the elevator is located. It's just tucked into the edge right here, and it will be connected to the platforms, the rooftop with two platforms and staircases. And also, we also considered adding another stair on this location to provide an option to the public to walk up to the rooftop. And also, more importantly, is like a means of fire escape in case of emergencies. Here's a first floor layout. You can see where the staircase is located and the elevator. This is the ground floor. This is where the elevator will be situated. And this, even though this elevator is like a standalone structure, we want to show here is that the visual impact is minimal. And this is actually a view from the pedestrian footbridge, the existing one. And you can see that there really isn't much impact to the view. And in fact, when you see people on the top, it actually encourages you to want to go and use the space too. So it's an improvement to the whole scene. So now I'll... a representative from Watermark will give his input as well.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you.
Well, first, okay. Thank you very much for inviting us along this morning. Just a quick background: I've been in Hong Kong nearly 30 years, and I was from Sydney originally. And we operate a restaurant in Sydney on the waterfront at Circular Quay. And the potential that we saw at Watermark was very, very obvious when we became involved. And that involvement only began 2 years ago, so I can only really talk about recent history. But when I we took over the operation of the restaurant and found out that nearly everybody who wanted to book a table wanted to sit outside on the balcony, and we had to tell them they weren't allowed because it was a public viewing deck, I learned a lot of very rude Cantonese words very quickly. And I didn't quite understand what they were until my staff translated and said, "Boss, look, it's better you don't know exactly what they say, but basically they're very upset they cannot sit outside and dine." So then I looked into the situation, and as Benson showed you previously, it's a very difficult operational situation at the moment, where the kitchen and the bar are separated from the dining room by a shared public access area. The washrooms in the restaurant have become... by virtue of the public access, public toilets, and I think as much as we love the public toilets in Hong Kong, they're not always as conducive for a dining experience on the water. So we've got a lot of challenges there currently, and when we contacted Star Ferry and when we and they introduced us to Master Plan, we felt that we had a win-win situation that we could propose to the initially to the Harbour Commission, to other government departments. I think Benson's clearly pointed out that this proposal will give a lot more viewing to the public. It will rationalise the use of the restaurant and will give basically the people of Hong Kong, only visitors and locals, the opportunity to really sit down and enjoy the waterfront in a very iconic location. I'm sure most of you know the restaurant and probably could identify what I'm saying. But as a Sydney-sider, to have a facility where you can actually have a drink and sit down and eat by the water but then be told you can't do it for some other historical reason is incredibly frustrating. So we just like to take advantage of the current redevelopment review of the Central Pier, work in concert with the Hong Kong Maritime Museum, and just activate two more parts of the pier, which we feel that the general public and visitors and tourists would all enjoy. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, members. As I say, this is. What do we think of the idea? Any suggestions we have as to how it might be enhanced, if we like it? No detailed design today, please. One observation from me, and what I suggest is you pick up these observations perhaps in a combined response in a minute. The present public viewing area is all-weather, if I may put it that way. I don't see any all-weather facilities suggested on the new deck. It looks to be rather open and rather bare, but again, this may be a matter for detailed design in due course, but we look to be substituting rather open viewing areas for all-weather viewing areas. Peter, on the idea, please. On the idea, everybody. Right.
Okay. Well, public viewing areas, in my opinion, have the same kind of rather ambiguous connotation that performance areas have. No one really knows what the parameters of use really are, let alone if we actually need them. Viewing areas of the harbour, I mean, we see the harbour all the time from so many different locations. On the existing viewing area, there are no facilities available for people. There are no seating facilities. And so why people would be expected to come to an area like this just to view the harbour is a little bit of a mystery to me. The Watermark, however, is a commercial operation, but it does put on a lot of functions, and it does seem very strange that if we designate a waterfront restaurant in such a prominent position that's used by so many people for so many different things, then why can't we do it properly and have dining facilities outside? The proposal to utilize the roof space seems sensible to me. It gives more space to the public. I would have a query about the elevator, however. I think it is rather obtrusive and probably rather unnecessary. Finally, of course, presumably the Star Ferry can charge a much greater rent on the extra 306 square meters of restaurant space, so it has my full support, but perhaps the Star Ferry Company can denote the additional income to the community chest or the waterfront chest so that the public does get some sort of a secondary benefit.
All right. One like. Please.
Thank you, Chairman. No,
sorry, Paul. Here first.
Oh, I missed you. I missed you.
Don't worry. Thank you, Chairman. I think I'm rather familiar with this Watermark space because I have actually visited many times. I think, number one, I do support the idea of exploring this out-of-the-box idea because currently, right now, the signage to the public viewing deck in the Watermark is not actually shown clearly from the outside. So from the outside, it looks like a commercially ran restaurant. So people don't have much of access into it without realizing there's public space. Secondly, I think that I do support the idea of trying to make use of the current resources and existing open space and how do you make it commercializing it in a way that you can bring more people to the waterfront. 2 points. Number one is I would like to get a clarification of what you mentioned is that there's 360 The open viewing deck around the restaurant is an open space right now, and inside is, you categorize it in the chart as a private space, private indoor space. But your new proposal, it means a public dining space. What does a public dining space mean? It's still a public area, but you can use it as part of the restaurant. Could you define that explanation? And secondly, on the upstairs bit, if you open up the public space, could you also, you know, explore servicing it as a F&B outlet as well, as Peter mentioned? Open space is very nice, but how do you attract people instead of just a viewing deck? Could you also explore the idea of serving as F&B so that it could be a multi-purpose space? And lastly, in terms of access, there has to be a lift up to be built. So if there's additional income from the conversion, then the extra cost of the building the lift, would that be undertaken by the staff ferry group?
Paul, sorry, I cut you off.
That's right. No. It's okay. I've used this to for my recent wedding. We used it to launch the outcome of the Central Waterfront Design Competition a few years. I used it for my 50th anniversary. I know the space extremely well, Chairman.
I think you're declaring a vested interest, sir.
Yeah, it's, I've used the space, and therefore I'm fully aware of the fact that we're looking for an elegant solution of a problem we have created in the design here. And I'm not sure how much effort we should make in trying to make the correction elegant. I think we've got to, first of all, correct the problem we have created by designating public space and open space in the wrong way. And I think we do, and we got to recognize that Hong Kong has 76 kilometers of waterfront. In this particular area, we've got lots of different areas of space already. Why we have to try to compensate within the same building for a correction of a mistake we've made in the past is basically trying to fool ourselves a little bit. I think we should be a little bit less demanding on trying to figure out everything. We have a building here, they got a great floor area, could be a fantastic restaurant, and it can be a better restaurant by removing the obligation for the public space around the edge. So it's a bad public space for the public to go to, the same as it is bad if you put a public open space on somebody's rooftop garden and say it's public. It's bad for the users, it's bad for everybody. So I think we can improve the situation by regularizing and the situation and making sure that it can be used as private dining space that people use. Whether we should also make the rooftop accessible, I think I want to be careful as a requirement for this change. I don't think we should necessarily as Commission be demanding that as compensation for correcting an error made in the past. But if we want to create more public space within the property and make the rooftop available, then I think we should be careful with lifts and elevators and all these structures are going to be required to make it accessible. Whether we should then also have a restaurant on top, again, that to me is adding on, making it even more complicated. We have lots of restaurants in the area. We're going to have a viewing deck. We're going to have Site 3 development. We're going to have restaurants coming out of our ears in the area if we do the right thing in all the other spaces. So I think we should try to find a simple, elegant way out of a problem we've created ourselves in the past. And I don't think we should be too demanding. And my suggestion from this commission to government, don't try to be onerous on trying to figure out a compensation for the loss of a bad public space and a correction of a mistake.
Thank you, KY. Thank
you, Chair. I think as a matter of principle, of course, having a viewing deck accessible to the public in addition to current provision, and also allowing diners to have outdoor dining by the seaside is of course should always be welcomed by the Harbourfront Commission as a matter of principle. The access as proposed, the lift, I do have some slight concerns. Perhaps I can have the last slide showing the minimum visual impact. Well, of course, from this side, maybe the visual impact will be minimal. But how about if somebody is standing from the east along the waterfront, then the elevator tower will be much more visible. I don't know about that because there's no photo showing us. So this is one concern. Another concern is the Watermark lease, my understanding is lease the staff area had, is able to lease the space to Watermark as a means of securing additional revenue to subsidize a franchise ferry service that is the current staff ferry service. And actually, what even more you need is, apart from the transport purpose or the current staff ferry service as a ferry service, actually have a dual role of actually allowing members of the public to have better enjoyment of the harbour, because you can always have a nice tour, a cruise on the harbour, because of the fire service being so cheap. It's actually free for, say, people, senior citizens at age of about 70 and things like that. And so if there are additional benefit to be secure because of these changes, I mean additional benefit to the franchisee, I would say, the franchisee, I think it's important, even from the point of view, not to mention about the transfer perspective, but even from the point of view of allowing more members of the public to better enjoy the harbour, that such benefits should be channeled back to the ferry operation. And this is something that I don't want to pull in government bureaucracy, but the current arrangement is we have to rely on the Transport and Housing Bureau to safeguard against this particular aspect for the benefit for public interest as well as for the interest of harbour enjoyment for this way. So that's the point.
Thank you. Please. And then PY.
Thank you, Chair. I tend to view it separately, the restaurant part and the viewing deck part. For the present arrangement of the restaurant, I can see that there, because of the configuration, etc., the private and public space is totally not satisfactory at all arrangement, and it's a lose-lose situation to the public. It's not a very enjoyable public viewing deck, and to the private, well, there are space that has potential that could be used, and every patron, I think, is requesting to be seated there, and then they cannot because it's not part of the private premises. And for this part, then I think it's certain that if it is all private, then it would have benefits to the patrons and the restaurants and etc. The problem here is because we are dealing with, well, is there is going to be some loss for the public because there is a public space that's usable by the public. That's if we do this conversion, then that's going to be given to a private commercial operation. Whether we compensate it in the same building or not, or in whatever means, is another question to me. And I would say, well, let's do it this way. We if we are going to make good use of this, then the whole space be made into a private premises, and then it's like what was being done for all other land use, that well, a fair premium or something similar be paid to the government, and then that amount of money be put to good use for the harbourfront or for the same purpose of providing a compensatory public viewing deck or for other things. Because right now I suspect there are only few people that is using this public viewing deck. So the loss to the public would be conceptual. But then if you really calculate the value of loss to compare it with the gain from the private, I think it, in terms of monetary value, it would be a gain. And then if we can get part of this gain or the whole of this gain from the private party to the public and use it to enhance the harbourfront for this purpose or for other purpose, that would be fine.
Thank you. PY, and then I'm going to draw a line, I think. One more over there, and then I'll draw a line. PY, please.
Thank you, Mr. Yep. Chairman. Well, instead of trying to find a spatial sort of solution, can we consider, well, for argument's sake, a time-sharing sort of solution, a compromise, if you like, well, compromise are not always likely to please everybody, but it's a compromise. Well, let's say allow the restaurant, the undertaker, to have a certain number of days of the week, for example, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whatever, subject to negotiation. And then the rest of the days still maintain the present viewing area to the public. But in compensation, as proposed, make the upper floor, the rooftop, accessible to the public. And then, but because somebody just mentioned that, well, it's just viewing, no refreshment, nothing else, it's not attractive. Okay, allow, sign a short lease, a simple lease, to allow the undertaker also. Of course, maybe you have to go through a tender process, I don't know. But then somebody selling simple refreshments. So it would be an advantage if the same operator can win the bid. So then the service can be delivered by simply adding a simple dumbwaiter sort of lift to deliver certain sandwiches or simple drinks. Then we can have a win-win or maybe lose, I don't know. It's a compromise without doing a major works. So because if you are taking away certain space that public use to get to, then we have to anticipate certain objections or views from the public. So let's put this to a trial first and see how the community reacts to this.
Okay. Creative solution on my left. Please. Yep.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I think I would generally support the idea. I think there are very prime rooftop space there that is not being used by the public, and it's very nice that someone can use it. I'm a bit concerned over the definition of so-called public dining open space as well, that I would be thinking, well, whether it will be, I mean, only be restricted to the customers of the restaurant. I think that for general purposes, it should be open to the public, although it can also be used as dining spaces as an extension of the restaurant. And something like in between, like the PY suggested, I think is possible to be considered, that occasionally can be used for private functions. But I would be more inclined to think that most of the time all the rooftop open space should be really be for public access. The second point that also I'm concerned is also has been raised by KY is about the lift. I would be more inclined to agree on the original plan which was submitted for our review, that the lift is somewhat buried inside the building, so it would not be as prominent as what we see here. Because obviously the central building is a very standalone and almost fully symmetrical one. The lift shaft at the right side would very much disrupt that very simple symmetry there. So thank you.
Ian, I don't think today actually is the time you should be answering questions, if you like, or responding. I think what you should be doing is taking away what you've heard. I mean, message that I've received loud and clear that we share your view that there is scope to rationalise the existing situation and that you know the sort of arrangements you're suggesting have legs, have merit, and round the table I think there's a general accord that what you've suggested conceptually anyway is worth taking forward.
Yes.
Questions, I mean, points on lifting and points on other minor details, if you like, or design details, I think can be picked up later. But, I mean, message I think you wanted or what you wanted to hear and what you have received, I think is a loud, clear message that we would like to see you take this forward.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of points, Mr. Chairman. The KY's assessment was correct, and that any additional rental that is achieved by the staff ferry from the operation as expanded floor space would go back to subsidize the operation of the ferry. So there is a direct relationship back to the use of the waterfront in that respect. Regarding other covered areas, there are other covered areas within the terminal building. And this is the image here of the entry, this is a public area, which you have to walk through to go through to the watermark, which is the doorway there. So immediately outside you have this covered area with, is again, you can see it's very poorly utilized in lots of ways. But there are other covered spaces, including those within the connecting part of the building. So it's not like there are not other options. And I think that's the thing that has changed. There are now options for people to see the harbour from all sorts of places, including piers 9 and 10, which are public piers. Mm-hmm. So there are covered options available. Regarding taking services up to the upper level, whether you're looking at balanced or not, I think for all of us who have been up there, when you come out of that door and you look at the view, it's absolutely fantastic. It's not just a substitute; it's something additional. It's actually really quite. It's a great photo opportunity. There's so many different ways that you can look at the space, and so you're creating something where we think there would be hundreds of people a day going up there. It would become one of the vantage points for the whole of the harbour. And if you look at the situation on the use of the public viewing area at present, the average use is 11 people per day.
Wow.
Now, when we talk about the public dining space, if you take that space which is used by 11 people per day, and you put chairs and tables and you provide opportunities for lunches and dinners and so on, and you're going to get about 10 tables with up to, you know, 6 to 10 people per table, that is the public. It's a different part of the public, but it's still the public coming to enjoy the waterfront. And while it's enjoying it with the service and everything, and they are customers, they're still what we're branding as the public, but it's a different component. And so it's not that you should provide for one or the other, but we a great opportunity to provide for both. So I think those are the simple answers. Some of the others, perhaps, as you suggest, don't need answers today.
Yeah.
But we will take it forward. We have to look at a practical option for including a lifting facility, because we should be providing access for the handicapped to these areas if possible. We note your comments. We're looking at the opportunity, and it's mentioned in the paper that Watermark will look at the practicality of covering the cost of doing that. But again, it depends on what the actual cost of doing it are. So it is, again, another benefit, and that they will be looking at providing this access up to that public area.
All right. Okay. Well, good luck. Take it forward. You've obviously got to engage with government now.
Okay.
And then hopefully we'll see you back here before long with the detailed proposal.
Certainly.
Thank you. Could we all change now? Well, not all change. Graham, I think. Oh, sorry.
Yes, Chairman.
Sorry, TD, sorry. Yeah. You may wish to comment. Yeah, my apologies. Sorry, I didn't see your hand. Sorry.
Yeah, Chairman and members, yes. We'd like to. I'm from the Transport Department and would like to respond on some points about the proposals. Firstly, we are open-minded on this proposal submitted by the Star Ferry.
Sorry, can you speak closer to the mic? You're difficult to hear. Sorry.
Yeah. And we welcome Star Ferry to identify proposals that would generate additional fare box revenue to subsidize the operation of the ferry services. As you know, the ferry services, the operating environment is not really good at this moment, and we welcome proposals from them. And but this time, because of the proposal is still in a very early stage, we need the company to provide more information about the financials, the performance, whether the proposal is financial viable, and the technical feasibilities, operation, pedestrian circulations, all sorts of details. So we, at this moment, we reserve our comments. And we are waiting for the Star Ferry Company as well as the consultant to submit more information so we can further assess the proposal and make our recommendation later.
Okay, thank you. That's fine. That's understood. Fine. All right. Ian, Graham, thank you. Oh, Graham, yes?
Yeah, well, just
final word.
Yeah, final word. Well, just want to thank everybody very much for their comments. I would just say what we're really trying to achieve is to create and give a good service restaurant on Hong Kong Harbour. And having it split between public deck and dining and 3 days a week and time sharing, it really doesn't work. You have to take it We've tried it. It's very, very difficult. There's nowhere to store furniture. It's a very limited space. But the other thing I want to say is that the staff ferry two piers, in relation to the transport department comment just then, were designed for a much greater volume of public movement than is currently being experienced. So I think the impact of this change would be negligible on what's been designed already. I mean, if you look at the way the thoroughfares for loading and unloading the staff ferry, if you remember what it was like when the pier was back close to the central, where there's a high volume traffic, that's been designed for more than that, and there's, of course, a lot less. So we think that there's plenty of open, underutilized space there that will not have a negative impact on the pedestrian flow. In fact, what we're really trying to do is get people to the waterfront to enjoy it. Okay, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much.